evening. This is out of my comfort zone, but like Cindy said, when God lays something on your heart, you have to share it. And we all know when Pastor Cindy asks you to do something, it's like Jesus does, and you're going to do it. So I'm going to be speaking to you tonight about fullness of time. In Galatians 4:4, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons." Recently, probably a month or so ago, we were in an intercessory prayer meeting, and God gave a prophetic word. And it just became revelation to me, and I couldn't get it off my mind, and I shared it with our the prayer group, and I shared it with Pastor Cindy. So when God spoke prophetically, these are the words that he spoke. Do not grow weary. Keep interceding. Intercede for your family, for your church, for your nation, and for revival. And then this part just really was the revelation to me. He said, "You do not know my fullness of time and when I will answer. For I am God, and my son Jesus is ever interceding on your behalf." And the phrase fullness of time, I just couldn't get it off my mind. Like in Galatians, God had the perfect time to send his son. He had the perfect woman, Mary, to be the mother of our Savior. And we live in an immediate world. We want everything fast, and we can usually get it fast. And we are not good at waiting. I know I'm not. And a lot of times, our prayer is in the waiting. And when he's speaking of fullness of time in the waiting, it's not a doubting, or it's not a lack of God's faithfulness. But most of the time in the waiting comes a warring, and comes something that God is doing deep in you during that time. In Psalms 27:14, it says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." We're waiting for our Kairos moment. There are two Greek words for time. One is chronos, which is just time in general. The other is kairos, meaning the right time, the opportune time, point of time when something should be done. A kairos moment occurs when it's God's time to act in human affairs. When thinking and praying about God answering at his fullness of time, God reminded me of many of times throughout his word where there was a fullness of time, a kairos time. For example, Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for the birth of Isaac. Moses spent 40 years in the desert before God raised him to lead the people out of Egypt. Joseph waited 14 years to be free. David was in the waiting, wrestling a lion and a bear. So at the right time, God could promote him to the forefront, and he would slay a giant and become a king. The world waited for the birth of the Messiah, and at God's fullness of time, he fulfilled his promise. Mary is the one, and this is the time. Year after year, Hannah waited for a child until her fullness of time came. Jesus waited 30 years to start his ministry on earth. God reminded me of Paul, who spent years persecuting the Jews until his fullness of time came on that Damascus road. That day God said, "Enough, you will follow me." It was his fullness of time moment. Elizabeth was barren, but God decided to move on the affairs of a woman and give her a child at just the right time for John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood suffered 12 long years, spending all she could on doctors, and was not healed. That day in the crowd became her fullness of time when she touched the hem of his garment. God spoke prophetically in his word to not grow weary, to keep interceding. In James 5:16, it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." God chooses to work through his people. And only in intercession can power be brought down from heaven. God wants our prayers. He wants us to partner with him. He wants to move on our behalf. In Ezekiel 22 and 30, it says, I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me. God is looking. He is asking, who will make up the hedge? Who will stand in the gap? And I know many of you are doing that, just that. You are standing in the gap for your family, for your prodigal, for your healing, for your church, and for your nation. But Jesus is our victor. We are his enforcers. Dutch Sheets says, we, through power of intercession, meet the power of darkness, enforcing the victory Christ accomplished at the cross. Jesus, our Savior, is at the right hand, ever interceding on our behalf. In Psalms 34 and 4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. In the Passion Translation, it says, listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress, and he answered. He freed me from all my fears. Sought in the Greek means to ask, to request, to beg, to call, to keep asking, to keep begging, to call for help in your time of need. God is not put off on how we ask, how many times we ask, how many times we come to the altar, how many times we approach his throne. He is faithful and he will answer. We serve a good Father in heaven who loves to answer our prayers. Thinking and praying of God's faithfulness and his fullness of time in my own life, he brought many, many things to my remembrance. His word says we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I'm going to testify to you of God's goodness. Dutch Sheets tells a testimony of his own life. He grew up a pastor's son in church under a very powerful minister. Some things happened in his life, and he walked away from God, became a prodigal, became involved in drugs and alcohol, spent years living that lifestyle away from God. One night he was in a bar and he was drunk and high, and God immediately made him sober in that bar and asked the question, what are you doing here? He immediately gave his heart back to God and is now one of the biggest voices for revival for this nation. Kent Christmas, who leads a church in Nashville, also had a son that grew up in church, grew up under a powerful minister, walked away from the faith, lived a homosexual lifestyle for 14 years. For 14 years, his parents prayed every day that he would come back to God. Didn't see it happening, didn't see anything in his life changing, and one night, at his fullness of time, he was getting ready to go out to a club. God stopped him and said, what are you doing? He gave his heart back to God, and he is now in heaven. I think of my grandfather, my Pappy Moreland, my mom and sis and my grandma, all in church praying for his salvation. He grew up with a godly mother, but just wasn't in church, had not given his heart to God. Through their faithfulness of intercession and not giving up, he was saved in his 70s. It is never, ever too late. It's never too late for your parents. It's never too late for your family. My grandfather got saved. He went on to live a faithful life for the Lord. Even in the nursing home, he was known for trying to lead people to Christ, asking people if they were saved, telling them about heaven. Don't ever stop praying for your lost loved ones. It doesn't matter how many years it's been. It doesn't matter how old they are. Their fullness of time is coming. And I think of our own pillar of faith in the church, Nan Wolf, who prayed for her three sons faithfully, attended the prayer meetings down at the old church on Thursdays. Anyone that knew her knew her heart for her sons. One of them saved. And although she passed before she saw their salvation, we can testify today all three made it to heaven. She met all three of them in heaven. All three of her sons were saved because of her intercession. Many of you are praying for your healing. Many of you have prayed for a long time. I was reminded of a woman who was in a coma that Dutch Sheets went to pray for every day, every week for a year. She was in a nursing home. She was in a coma, non-responsive, and God told Dutch to go pray for her. He went every week for a year, seeing no improvement at all. And then one day, he went to pray for her, and she was listening to music. She was awake. Because of his intercession, she was healed. I think of our own Shirley Fitzwater, who came to church faithfully and played that piano with her oxygen, praying for healing, praying for God to remove that oxygen. Many of us witnessed it. One morning in this service, God telling her to take her oxygen off, and he healed her. It was her fullness of time. My sister, diagnosed with cancer at 32, God could have healed her instantly. He could have taken it all away. I don't know why he didn't. I don't know why she had to walk that road. I do know what he did with her and through her during that time. I can stand here and say today, it's been almost 20 years and she is cancer free. And God uses her mightily in this church. I think of my dad, who's here tonight, who was sick for over a year. Really couldn't do anything, was on oxygen, couldn't enjoy his farm, couldn't get out on his tractor, had been to doctor after doctor, had procedures, had testing, had really no answer, no improvement. My dad has always been one who prayed about something and then you thank God for it. You pray for God to heal you and then you thank him that you're healed. He continued to do that. He continued to thank God that he was healed. He continued to believe for it. And one day, his fullness of time came. He's out on his tractor. He's out enjoying his farm. He's here tonight because of God's faithfulness. My husband, Scott, had what we thought was a pretty simple procedure. He would be in the hospital for a couple days. It turned into 10 days with many complications. Things were not looking good. The doctor had come in and told us, you know, if things didn't change by morning, we were gonna have to make some decisions, and they weren't really good decisions. I had been texting Pastor Cindy and my family. Pastor Cindy had sent me the song that evening, The Goodness of God. It was the first time I'd ever heard that song. And she said to me, you and Scott listen to the song and you pray for God to heal him. And we did in that hospital bed. We listened to The Goodness of God and prayed for God to heal him and went to bed. Well, the doctor told us, you know, these are signs to look for if things are moving forward or if they're, you know, things are healing. So we prayed the prayer, went to bed, woke up that morning. Every sign the doctor said we would see if he was healed, we saw. And instead of the next morning there being another procedure, we were on our way home so we could watch our daughters graduate from high school and college. Emily and Timothy prayed for a child. Disappointment after disappointment, weariness, sadness. They kept their faith. They interceded. They prayed and they prayed. And she's sitting there holding our sweet baby Brooks because of intercession. Sis and Tom trying to adopt. It had been 2 years of disappointments. They wanted a child. The adoption agency had just been to their home on a Friday and told them it could be another couple years before they would have a child, that it just wasn't looking good. That was on a Friday. Sis came, they went to church on Sunday night. Sis went to the altar and pleaded to God, begged and said, I don't want to wait any longer. I want a child. And he moved on their behalf. It was their fullness of time because of her prayer. She prayed that prayer on Sunday night, and less than 24 hours later, on a Monday morning, they had a child for them. The social worker told them they were doing something that they had never done before. God heard and answered, and they were the first couple in this county to be approved for an in-county adoption, not only blessing them, but opening the door for many, many other couples in this area. Within days, they had a son, Mike, who they raised in a godly home, who is now a minister. Even in my own life, things that have just been between me and God, things that I've prayed for decades, God speaks and says, today is the day, and I'm going to answer. He's always faithful. He always hears. It's his desire to answer our prayer. My life and what I have today are a direct result of people who interceded for me. My parents, my sister, my grandparents, Tom and Sis, Brother Fletcher, Pastor Ivan and Cindy. It's our responsibility to do the same for this generation. They need it now more than ever. Your prayers of intercession hold eternal weight. Obedience to God in prayer brings response to God. Intercessory prayer can change your church. It can release revival. Brother and Sister Fletcher were praying for a young couple to come to church. They didn't have any young couples in the church, and they wanted a young couple to come, not only come to the church, but stay in the church. Helen and Sister Fletcher were interceding for that, so they decided to go visit Tom and Sis, to go evangelize to them, to invite them to church. Not only did they come to church, they stayed. They've been here for 56 years, teaching Sunday school, serving the Lord, and being pillars of faith in our family. Cities or nations can be spared for judgment. Sodom could have been if enough righteous people could have been found. We can tear down strongholds. We can birth revival in a nation through prayer. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins. If my people who are called by my name will. It's conditional. If you will pray, will you pray? And he will heal our land. The Great Hebrides Revival was birthed by two sisters. They were 82 and 84, both crippled by arthritis, one completely blind. God called them to intercessory prayer. They were grieved because no young people were attending their church, and they were grieved what was happening in their community. The bars were full, the churches were not. God called them to prayer twice a week from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. That would be hard for me, let alone an 80-year-old woman. He called them twice a week to that time to prayer. That is not easy, but they were obedient to God. And at the right time, God released a revival because of their prayers and raised up Duncan Campbell as a voice in that region. The churches became full of young people. The bars closed and darkness was turned to light. Through prayer, I believe this is what God wants for our nation. Don't discount the intercessory prayer in the secret place. Don't discount what you do in obedience to God. It could release the greatest revival and harvest of souls that we've ever seen. Dutch Sheets, speaking of revival, saw that there was an organized prayer movement before each revival, except for the Jesus movement. Why, he asked. And the Lord said, I have answered the prayers of millions of mothers. No one prays for your family more than you. No one prays for your church more than you. No one prays for your lost loved ones more than you. Don't give up on it. God is faithful to hear, and he will move on your behalf. In Isaiah 60 and 22, it says, at the right time, I, the Lord God, will make it happen. I don't understand God's timing, but he is God and I am not. Why are some answers immediate and some takes years? He called us to prayer and keeping the faith. God is outside of time. He is all-knowing, and he knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. He knows what needs done in us in the waiting, and he knows when the right time is for his fullness of time. I believe for many of you tonight, you are moving into your fullness of time moment, your Kairos moment, when God is going to move on your behalf. Just as God spoke in his prophetic word, do not grow weary, keep interceding. You are so close to your answer. In Galatians 6 and 9 in the NIV, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if, again, we do not give up." If we don't give up, we will reap a harvest. It's conditional. Don't give up. Keep praying. It could be the evening, like Sunday night when Sis prayed the prayer. It could be the evening before we prayed over my husband. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep interceding. Keep searching for God. Encourage yourself with the word. Pray your word over your family. It will not return void. There's power in the word. Speak it over your situation. Speak it over your life. The word is alive and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. If you speak God's word, he's going to answer it because it cannot return void. And don't be discouraged in the waiting. Be encouraged today. God is faithful. His word will not fail. Just as he answered Abraham and Sarah. Just as he answered Hannah. Just as he answered the prayers for the revival, for the prayers for the children, the prayers over prodigals. He wants to do the same for you. He has not changed. Jesus is our Savior, and he is ever interceding on our behalf. How special is that, that Jesus, our Savior, is seated beside God, ever interceding on your behalf. He is mindful of you. He wants to increase your faith. He delights in you. He's a good, good Father who loves to answer your prayers. Our nation is depending on it. Our church is depending on it. The prodigals are depending on it. God is faithful. He has not changed. He is waiting for our obedience, and he is waiting for our response. God moves at his fullness of time. He has a perfect time for every answer to prayer in your life. So even if you're in the waiting, even if it's been years, even if it's been decades, just like my grandfather who was in his 70s when he got saved, and God still used him to lead people to Christ. Don't give up. Even if you don't see it in your children, even if you don't see it, don't give up. He is faithful. He wants to answer our prayers. There's a Kairos moment in the air, and hold on because your fullness of time is here.